Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Jeremiah 17. In verse 5, the Word of God says, "Thus says the Lord." Watch out when it says, "Thus says the Lord." When it says, "Thus says the Lord," you're talking business. "Cursed is the strong man who trusts in man." Watch out. Cursed is somebody. Did you know there's a way to be cursed and then there's a way to be blessed? There is. There is a way for people to be blessed and there is a way for people to be cursed. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a strong suspicion you're like I am. I'd rather be blessed than cursed. How many people would rather be blessed than cursed? Show of hands. I'd rather be blessed than cursed. How many would rather be cursed than blessed? Okay, no smart Alex here. Good. I would rather be blessed than cursed. But there is a way to be blessed and there is a way to be cursed also. Here it says, "Cursed is a strong man." Now, often we think, especially nowadays, that a strong man, well, that's a good thing, right? He's a strong man. But here it says, "Cursed is the strong man," not because he's strong, but if he trusts in man, then he is cursed. Now, it's not saying that he has relationships or something like that. It's saying that he trusts in humanity, whether it's his own humanity or somebody else's humanity. Then that is a curse. Why? Because humanity is a natural thing. The natural man, the Word of God tells us, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Well, that's a real problem. Because if I don't receive the things of the Spirit of God, then what do I have left? All good things come from God. God is the source of blessing. God is the source of hope. God is the source of love. God is the source of kindness and mercy and forgiveness and compassion and goodness. So if I'm looking to another source, then I'm going to live in a curse. Because the natural man, the only source that the natural man has apart from God is his own old sin nature. And the old sin nature works together with the devil. That's the devil's target, is the old sin nature. He influences people through the old sin nature. So the man who trusts in natural humanity, because in John 15:5, in the last part of the verse, apart from Jesus, we can do absolutely nothing. The person who trusts in something apart from Jesus, well, of course he's going to be cursed. There's no way for him to be blessed. And then it continues, and he makes flesh his strength, that is to say, the old sin nature. He depends on his old sin nature to be blessed. He depends on his old sin nature for his abilities. He steps away from God and thinks that he can do something on his own. And there's a lot of people out there who will say, "Oh, I can do things without God. I can do things on my own. Look, I got successful without God." You have absolutely no clue what you're talking about. Do you honestly think that perhaps fame or money is an indicator of success? You can lose that in one day. I've met people who have. $10 million in the morning, 10 cents in the evening. That was a bad day. Everybody can have a bad day. Back in the Great Depression at the beginning of it, 1929, and then again in 1989, and that wasn't even a Great Depression. That was just a bad day on the stock market. People were jumping out of windows because they lost everything that they had, and that was their identity. That was what their hope was put in. That's what they were trusting in. That stuff means nothing. Young people, get this straight. God owns everything. All wealth belongs to God. I don't care whose bank account it is sitting in. All wealth, everything belongs to God. It is nothing for God to give you everything. If you need it, you'll have it. Simple as that. If you need it, you'll have it. Don't ever say to yourself, I have to start striving for things like money or fame or reputation or anything else. I have to make sure that I get to this level because then I'll be safe. Then I'll be taken care of. If that's what you think, I will guarantee you it will amount to nothing. Why? Because God takes care of us. God supplies all our needs. God is the one who is looking out for us. God is the one who is taking care of us. God is the one who is making sure we have everything that we need. It works that way, and it works beautifully. As young people, you may not have had that experience, but the older you'll get, the more of that experience you'll find is true. God is the one who provides for you. If you have success, God brings it. Now, yes, you can have worldly success by your own doing because of the law of sowing and reaping. You sow correctly, and yes, you can make some money, but you know what? That money may not sustain you. It always amazes me. When you see some really rich, and it's usually a celebrity, and they have a problem with drugs or alcohol. Why? Because they're not content. Their money did nothing for them. They have a lot of it, but they found that it wasn't actually success. It may be comfort, it may be the ability to buy what you want, and some people say, yeah, I'd like to have that ability, but it will not actually buy you anything important. You may not today worry about what you're going to eat if you have a lot of money, but tomorrow you may not have that money and you may not be able to control that. Because that kind of thing is not meaningful. Now, we're responsible, we do what we can to take care of our families and so on, but don't ever think to yourself that anybody other than God is taking care of you. If you do, you're deceived. God is the one who provides for you. If you need it, you will have it. And it's God who brings it, not your ability to make some cash. It's God who brings it. I remember years ago, my back went out. I was flat on my back for a year. My wife got sick. She couldn't work. We had all the money we needed. We didn't have much in the savings account. We were young. But we had everything we needed. I remember thinking to myself, how in the world is this working out? The way that it worked out is God took care of us. My missionary friend in Norway, nothing in the fridge, no money to buy it with. In the morning he finds a few bags of groceries outside his door with a note, I don't know who you are, but God told me to buy you these groceries. How did that happen? God provides for everything. I had a friend who was a missionary, and as a missionary, he would help this woman who was a widow who lost everything when her husband died. And he would give her half, sometimes his entire support. There were times when he would go without food, not telling anybody because he was helping this widow so she would have something to eat. Years later, he's rich. How did that happen? God provides all your need. And he was a missionary. He's not like a guy who went to school, studied rocket science, became a very successful NASA engineer and raked in the bucks. He wasn't some entrepreneur who knew how to create a business who made himself millions of dollars. No, he was a missionary. He studied in Bible college, things that people say, well, what are you going to do with that? He studied in Bible college, became a missionary, and now he's rich. How did that happen? God provides. God honored his sacrifice and rewarded him for it. Don't ever get into this mindset where you think to yourself that somebody other than God provides for you. I'm not saying be lazy. I'm saying don't worry. God will always provide for you. Just the way He is. Just the way He does things. He will always provide for you. If you start to depend on your natural abilities, you're going to enter a curse. God is actually going to start opposing you. And so you never want to do that. So cursed is the strong man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. That's why the curse. Because his heart departed from the Lord. His heart didn't say, God will take care of me. His heart didn't say, God is my king. His heart didn't say, I'm going to follow my Savior. His heart didn't say, God will provide all my needs. His heart said, I don't need God. I can do it myself. And he enters into a curse. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert. You know what a shrub in the desert is? It's called tumbleweed. It's this dried out thing, and it's blown about everywhere. It's totally useless. And shall not see the good when it comes. Not seeing good when it comes is a type of mental distortion. But this person who has said to themselves, I'm going to do it on my own, God is not going to do it for me. In some cases, they outright turn their backs on God. But did you know even a Christian can do this? A Christian can do this when they put their trust into something other than 100% putting their trust in God. Then they will get to this place where they enter elements of curse. And they'll get into a challenge, a difficult time, and it'll blow them about. They won't be able to handle the situation. And then, when something good does happen, they won't even recognize that something good happened. Now, there is a type of mental distortion, it's called cognitive distortion, where you focus only on the negative. Everything is negative. You cannot admit to yourself that something good happens, you'll reject the goodness of it, and you'll see something negative in it. There's a lot of people like that. It's a type of mental malfunction. Their thinking is wrong. Why? Because they relied on something other than God in their life. Young people, rely only on God. Yes, be responsible. Yes, do the best you can. Yes, whatever you do, whatever your hand finds to do, you do it with all your might. Yes, that is true. But ultimately, you rely on God. Don't rely on those things. You don't rely on a job. You don't rely on people. You don't rely on money. You rely on God, because it's not the job, it's not the people, it's not the money that's going to come through for you. It is God. There's a lot of people with very good jobs who lost them in a heartbeat. There's a lot of people with a lot of money who've lost them in a heartbeat. People who win the lottery, that's a really interesting situation. They'll win millions. And they say it was a curse. They say it was the worst thing that ever happened to them. They thought that it somehow it would make them happy. They thought somehow it would make things easy. They thought somehow that life would be carefree. And then a lot of these people, not all of them, but a lot of them, they'll turn around and say, that was the worst thing that ever happened to me. Because things got really messed up. Things got really complicated. People started being more interested in their money than in a friendship. They didn't care about them. They cared about the cash. They started to look for what you can get out of somebody rather than being simply a friend to them. That can even happen with people they are close to. Good friends, even family in some cases. Cousins you didn't know you had. And it ruined their life. It ruined their life. Why? You see, none of those things can sustain you. None of those things are the provision that God is. None of those things are a source of contentment or pleasure. Now, I'm not saying you're better off being poor. I'm saying things like money, things like people, those are not what is going to sustain you. God may add those to you to bless you, but those are not what's going to sustain you. God wants you to be blessed. Such a person like that, they're going to live in a salt land, Jeremiah says, that is not inhabited. That means there's tremendous provisions in the land, and they don't get the benefit of those provisions. Salt is a preservative. But once the salt loses its effectiveness, there's nothing to preserve. What do you do when the salt doesn't work? There's nothing left. That's why they're cursed. Now you see, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked in verse 9 of Jeremiah 17. You can't know your own heart. People who depend on their own heart, people depend on their own thoughts, on their own ability, they depend on something that is very deceitful. That's why some people think they can actually get away with things, that they could get somewhere, and sometimes they can even make some money, like I said, because of the law of sowing and reaping. They can get some worldly success because they sowed in a way that would bring worldly success, except for this. Worldly success is not meaningful. Worldly success does not buy joy. Why are celebrities, and celebrities are notorious for this, into drugs and alcohol? Because they're not content. They're not satisfied. They're looking for more. There's something in their life that did not meet their expectations when they met their success. It didn't produce what they were hoping it would produce. There's a very famous actor, I'm not going to mention who he is, but there's a very famous actor. I saw an interview with him one time, and it was a while ago, and he said something really interesting. He said, "All my life, I spent fighting and clawing and scratching to get to the top." That is to say, to succeed. And then he succeeded. And he became a very famous actor. If I told you who it was, you'd recognize him in an instant. And he said, "When I got to the top, I looked around and there was nothing there." That's an amazing thing to admit. Where are these people into the drugs and alcohol? Because in their success, they find there's nothing there. Without God, there's nothing there. I know people who have barely two pennies to put together. They're really just going from paycheck to paycheck, and some people are barely doing that, and they are so content. They have so much joy. No, they can't buy a Cadillac, but they have happiness. They are blessed. And they have no problem blessing others. There was an interesting poll done recently. I heard about it on the news, or some news program, I can't quite remember, about tipping. You know, like when you go to the restaurant and you tip the waitress? They found that somewhere around 30% of people who don't have much money think that tipping is overrated. Only 30%. That means 70% think that tipping is a good thing. But when they're rich, of the rich people, the numbers were opposite. Only about 30% of rich people thought that tipping is good. 70% thought it was overrated. How do you make that equation? You see, they've got this distorted sense of what things actually are. Why? Because it brings in a false sense of self-indulgence. Why should I give you? These people who are poor sometimes, they're sometimes the most generous people there are, and in their generosity, they become very fulfilled. Because they're looking away from themselves. Sometimes the rich people, they have nothing to look away to. They are only looking at themselves, and their whole life becomes occupied about satisfying how they feel. And it leads them to nothing but emptiness and depression. How many Hollywood types are going to therapists? Why? Because they've got nothing. Why? There's a curse in it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You don't even know your heart. But then there's another side to this. In Psalm 84:5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, God, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Now there's an interesting thing. And they pass through the valley of Becca. The valley of Becca means sorrow, difficult times, sad times. They pass through the valley of sad times and make it a spring. In other words, it becomes life imparting. The rain also covers it with pools, and they go from strength to strength. Now, blessed is the man whose strength is in God. They are not depending on themselves, they're depending on God. They are not looking to themselves, they're looking to God. They're not acting on their own abilities or their own wisdom, they're seeking the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is extremely practical. And when you seek the kingdom of God first in Matthew chapter 6, God adds everything else to you. So you don't have to strive. You just seek the kingdom of God first. You don't have to strive at all. That's where you're blessed. You see, there is a way to be blessed. But there's also a way to be cursed. Look to yourself. Look to your old sin nature. Live apart from God. You're going to be cursed. But look to God. Look for Him. Look for His provision. Look for His ways in your life. Look for what He desires in your life. And you're going to be blessed. You see, God is not stingy. Sometimes you say to people, look for God's desires, look for God's ways. Don't worry about those things that you may desire. Look for what God desires. And they kind of cringe. Well, how am I going to get what I want? Well, you know what? You think God is stingy. Ephesians 3:20 says, God goes above and beyond all you can ask or think. Jesus says, fear not, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and everything is added unto you. God is not stingy. God's going to withhold no good thing from you. You see, God's desire is to bless you. But you have to walk away from the God who wants to bless you to enter into the curse. It's God's desire, it's God's pleasure, it's God's hope. That is God's goal, to bless you. He made you to bless you. The fact that you are on earth means that God wants to bless you. But there's a way to be blessed and there's a way to be cursed, and the way to be blessed is to trust God. Make Him your source. Make Him your strength. Make Him what you're relying on. And you'll be amazed how far you can go. This new Speaker of the House, I don't know that you guys have been following this, you're a little young, but this new Speaker of the House is a really interesting guy. He was not looking for that job. He is the number three guy in power in American politics. You have the President. If something happens to the president, the vice president takes over. If something happens to both of them, the Speaker of the House takes over. He's in a very high position in American government. Very powerful person. He was not looking for it. But you know what he was doing? He was trusting God. He entered into politics from Louisiana as a congressman. He was not representing a whole lot of people. Congressmen represent only a group of people. They don't represent an entire state even, with the exception of the one from Wyoming, because there's so few people in Wyoming. But he's only representing relative few people. But he goes into, he's not looking to be the speaker, he's just looking to do right before God. And all of a sudden, clear out of nowhere, he's not looking for it, he becomes the speaker of the house. He put his hat into that ring because people wanted him to. He wasn't looking for it. I saw an interview with him, and he said, if you want to know what I think, read the Bible. Then you'll know what I think. Because the Bible gives me my worldview. Well, that's a great way to be. He's relying on God. He's relying on the Word of God. He's got a source, and he's got a source that has promoted him beautifully. You see, this is not a religious thing. This is a very practical thing. The greatest brain surgeon in the world was probably Dr. Ben Carson before he retired. He did things that nobody could do. I remember there were Siamese twins connected at the head in South Africa. Siamese twins are twins that share body parts. They're twins, but they never quite separated. And they're connected physically by their body, and these two are physically connected at the head. They shared a part of the same brain. Nobody wanted to touch these guys. No doctor was confident in helping them. They called Ben Carson, and he was willing to go into South Africa. You know what he did? He prayed. Because he was a Christian. And he knew the ability of God. And he prayed, and God gave him the wisdom in order to separate these Siamese twins, whereby both of them survived. That was very difficult. And both of them could now have a life. He used to go into the operating room, and he would pray with the operating room staff, and he would pray with patients, and he said, even if they weren't believers, he would pray anyway. Because he knew his source. He knew where his ability came from. He knew who was going to make him good. He became probably the greatest brain surgeon in his day. Nobody could do the stuff Ben Carson could do. He was great. What happened there? He made God his strength. He made God his source. And God did amazing things for Ben Carson. He was blessed. These people, like the Speaker of the House, Congressman Johnson, he is blessed. Because he's not going to sway from God. Yes, he's going to have his atheistic critics. Yes, he's going to have people who don't like what he's doing, because those people, without even realizing it, are on the wrong side of eternity. Yes, he's got people who deny the truth and they're going to oppose him, but none of that makes any difference. God had Satan opposing him. Satan didn't end up too well. But he was blessed. You want to be blessed, you trust God. You want to be blessed, you rely on him. You don't try to do it apart from him, you do it with him. Because he's the one who opens doors. He's the one who gives you wisdom. He's the one who gives you the ability. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Sometimes you have to enter into a process to get there. You see, we have this deep-rooted old sin nature, and that old sin nature can be a real booger. And so God brings us into a process whereby we'll forsake the old sin nature in Romans 5:3-5, so that we can experience the blessing and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When that takes place in the process, recognize something. That tribulation, that trial, that test, that difficulty that's come into your life, that unpleasant circumstance, the negative thing, the thing you wish hadn't happened, God sent it. Why did God send it? Why did he allow it? What was the purpose? To build you. Because we have an old sin nature, our natural tendency is to draw to the curse. God has to snap us out of that. He doesn't actually snap us out of it. He builds us out of it. And He does it sometimes with difficult things, with things that we did not want. Something happened, I didn't like it. Yeah, but God sent it. Well, this was just somebody doing something or something just happening. You know what? God is the one who's controlling that, right? All things are from God. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Isn't that right? All things are from God. Yeah, well, if you really, I mean, honestly, let's be real here. Yeah, let's be real. All things are from God. End of sentence. The word of God is truth. John 17:17. Yeah, but if they didn't, all things are from God, right? That's a tough one for us to accept sometimes because it requires humility. And humility is not a part of the old sin nature. But all things are from God. And so you get something that's difficult to come into your life. Why did it come? Because God's building you. God's trying to impart something to you. God's trying to give you a character that is His character. God's trying to get you to trust Him so that He can bless you. He can't bless you if you don't trust Him. But if you trust Him, then He can bless you to no end. In Psalm 94:12, blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach your word. How do I trust God? I turn to His word. You see, the word of God is more than just an idea or a book. The Word became alive. John 1:14. The Word of God is who Jesus was. That's His name. When you see Him in heaven, you'll have the Word of God written on His thigh. That's His name, Word of God. And so the Word of God, what we call the Bible, became alive. It's not just a book and it's not just ideas. It's the mind of God, and the mind of God is not a thought. The mind of God is supernatural. The mind of God has incredible power. See, God is not a man. He is not like a man and He doesn't function like a man. His mind, His word, actually can do things. It is powerful. To the point where His word could transform itself into a person. That's powerful. It's not like human. He's not human. He's God. The good thing is that He loves you. The greatest desire that He has is to reveal that love to you. And in revealing that love to you, He desires to bless you. God never desires for anyone to be cursed. Never. God desires for people to be blessed. But He can't bless them unless they trust Him. Why? Because if they're not trusting Him, they're walking away from Him. It's like trying to take a shower but walking away from the water. How do you do that? Now, you got to get under the spot where the water comes out. And then you get blessed. And so, you get yourself in the Word of God, and you learn how to trust God, and man, He's going to bless you out of your orbit. Why? Because that's what He does. His desire is to bless, not to curse. But in Deuteronomy 30:19, you do have a choice. You need to choose to be blessed. And the way that you choose to be blessed is by trusting Him. The way that you choose to be cursed, because you have to choose to be cursed, is to not trust Him and rely on yourself or something else other than God. And then you'll be cursed. But it's your choice. God allows you to choose. But if you want to be blessed, it's easy. You trust God. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me, so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.